Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Kuf Vav. My Reinu left off on daf Kuf Hey Amad Beis. We are a bit up. We are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom of the Amad. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Goldaba Simcha LeHashalom. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times and Atzlacha for our soldiers and captives. And Avi, three sponsors today or two? Just Lander and Sadian. Yeah. All right, so those two sponsors, we thank the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. Also, of course, a hearty mazel tov to my Reinu, whose son Yisrael got married last night to Risa Harris, now Risa Leibowitz, and we wish him much nachas from his kids. And we gave him a morning off, and we have a tough top ahead of us. So today we are going to cover three primary topics. So the first primary topic that we're going to cover is what happens if somebody denies the claim of a mafkid. So you have a nifkad who accepted an item into his possession. The mafkid says to him, "Where's my item? Where's the thing that I gave to you to hold on deposit?" And the nifkad denies that he has it. So the question is, from the moment of denial, is he considered to be a gazlan, or is he not considered to be a gazlan until after he actually takes a false shvua and he actually swears to the effect that he doesn't have the item in his possession? So in other words, so again, in order to become a gazlan, is it enough that you contradict? Is it enough that you deny? Or does it have to be a denial coupled with a shvua? So that's the first major topic of the daf. The second major topic of the daf is going to be the shita of Rava, who says that if somebody accepts, if you have two disputants, if you have two litigants, and one of them accepts a shvua from the other, and then it later turns out that the shvua was a false shvua, is the claimant then able to actually recover monetary damages from his disputant, from the person against whom he has the claim? So do we say that because he already accepted the shvua, that was his recourse, he accepted the shvua, the fact that the guy swore falsely, it's too bad on him, too bad on the claimant, and the claimant is out of luck? Or do we say no such thing, the guy swore falsely, so of course the claimant is allowed to go collect the money from his disputant once it's proven that he swore falsely? The Gemara is going to discuss, does it make a difference how we know that he swore falsely? What if Adim came and says that he swore falsely, or prove that he swore falsely? What if he himself admits that he swore falsely? Is the halacha going to be different based on how the full shvu is exposed? And then the third and final topic of today's daf, which is going to take us pretty much until the bottom of Kovava Mabez, which will be our stopping point today, God willing, is the question of, we know that there are two, we know that there's a ganav, and we know, of course, a ganav is mechayev tashlume kefil. So if the ganav is found to have stolen something, not only does he have to pay back the keren, but he has to pay back a double payment. That double payment is called kefil. That's a knas. Now, the question is, there's also something called a toin tainas ganav, meaning that if you have a nifkad, if you have somebody who is guarding an object that a mafkid gave to him, the mafkid says to the nifkad, "Where's my object?" And the nifkad said, "Oh, sorry, it was stolen." But it turns out that he actually stole it, so that's somebody who's called a toin tainas ganav. A toin tainas ganav also has to pay kefil. The question is, we know that a ganav also has a halach of dalad vehei. In addition to kefil, if the ganav is tavach o machar, so the question is, so that he's chayav dalad vehei, the question is going to be, if a toin tainas ganav is tavach o machar, does he owe dalad vehei or not? We're going to see in the Gemara, it's tzadim to say yes, tzadim to say no. So again, that's going to be the third major topic of today's daf. We left off yesterday, again, 11 lines up from the bottom of the Amud of Kuf Hei Amud Beis, and that's where we are going to begin today. Again, and this is the subject over here is a shomer who denies the mafkid's claim. So Amrav Sheshes, HaKofer B'Pikadon, if a person says, let's say the mafkid goes over to the nifkad and says, "Where's my object? Where's my pikadon that I gave you to watch?" And the nifkad said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have it." And then it turns out that there are Edim who say that the object is in the Nifkad's Rishus. So the Nifkad denies that he actually has the object, but we have Edim who come and say that it's in his Rishus. So Nasa Elav Gazlan, so he becomes a Gazlan immediately. So what does it mean he becomes a Gazlan immediately? So this is Rav Sheshes' Shita, that from the moment of his Kfira, from the moment that he denies that he has the object, he becomes a Gazlan. We don't need him to actually take a Shvua to that effect. And from that time and on, says Rav Sheshes, what's the nafkamina if he's considered to be a Gazlan or not? So if he's considered to be a Gazlan and the item is in his Rishus, in his capacity as a Gazlan, if that item later gets damaged, even through an Ones, the Gazlan is going to be chayiv to make remuneration to compensate the owner of the item for the damage. Whereas if he's still considered to be a Shomer Chinam, and then some unavoidable mishap happens and the item is damaged or destroyed, if he's a Shomer Chinam, the Shomer Chinam is going to be putter because the Shomer Chinam is only chayiv ala pshia. So again, the guy's a Shomer Chinam, the mafkid comes over to him and says, where's my object? The nifkid says, I don't have it. Edim come and say he does have it. It's in his rishus. So he was kofar. Does that kfira alone, without taking a shvua, render him a gazlan to be chayiv ba'onsin or not? So Rav Sheshes Shita is yes. Hakofar b'yukadon. If the guy's a shomachinam, he denies that he has the item in his rishus. Nasal of gazlan. He's considered to be a gazlan v'chayiv ba'onsin, and therefore he's going to be chayiv in onsin, even if he doesn't take a shvua. The Tana Tuna. And we have a raya as follows. V'chicheish ba, that it says v'chicheish ba, and he denies it. Lamadnu onesh. From here we learn in onesh. Now what's the onesh? The onesh, says Rashi, is that after v'chicheish ba, after the pasuk tells us that the two people are arguing about whether something in his rishos and he denies it, the pasuk then says v'heishav esagzela. That v'heishav esagzela means that he has to return the stolen object because he's already considered to be a gazlan. And the onesh, says Rashi, is that we're going to treat him as a gazlan and he has to return the stolen object. So v'chicheish ba, that's where we learn the onesh. In other words, the chiyav hashava, azhar minayin. Where do we learn an azhara? Where do we learn the warning? Whenever we have a lav in the Torah, there always has to be an onesh and an azhara. The Torah always has to warn us that the thing is asur to do. And once we do that which is asur, the Torah is going to give us a punishment. So we need an onesh and we need an azhara. So far we have an onesh. What about the azhara? Tamalomar lo sukha chashu, because the pasuk also says, do not deny falsely. So my lav la onesh mamon. So doesn't it mean that the onesh is for mamon? What does mamon mean? Mamon means kfira. That's simply when you are kofar, you're going to be chayiv the onesh for kfira. And that's the azhara for the onesh of kfira. Says the Gemara, lo, the onesh shvua. There's no rai over here that we're talking about kfira. Maybe lo sechachashu means don't deny falsely with a shvua. But if I stam deny falsely with the kfira unaccompanied by a shvua, then I am not going to be considered a gazlan at that time. I'm still considered to be a Shomer Chinam. I'm not considered to be a Gazlan. Tosfos over here is bothered. Why? Presumably, the reason that the Gemara is looking around to find a pasuk which is a site for both an onesh and an azhara is because of the principle of ein onshin min adin, that I'm not allowed to figure out an onesh based on one of the Yud Gimel Midas. It has to be explicitly in the Torah. Tosfos over here is bothered. But over here in Divrei Maskal Mai, my lav onshin onesh de mamon tema, but mamon mashayach lomar lo onesh ele imkein hizer. By mamon, there is no concept of lo onesh ele imkein hizer, that I can't have an onesh without an azara. De bishlama b'onesh shvua dainu karban. I understand if we're talking about my onesh is for the avera that I swore falsely. Okay, for swearing falsely, I have to bring a karban. Shayach de bepesach humila leka karban mishum de lesbu lav afal gavdika kares. Because by pesach humila, we see that there's a concept of ein onshin el imke mazirin. But if we're only talking about a punishment for a kfira, that's stam dine mamonis. By dine mamonis, we don't usually say ein onshin el imke mazirin. So Tosfos has a kasha with this. But in any event, Rav Sheshes had said, as soon as the guy's kofar, he becomes a gazlan. We then try to bring a raya from lo sechachashu, means that he was kofar. And the Gemara said, no, how do you know that lo schachshu means he was kofar? Maybe it means that he took a full shvua. Says the Gemara, no, you can't touch up like that, because haman zaktani seifa vishtaba, because the seifa of the brisa deals with a case where the guy actually takes a shvua and he swears falsely. Mechlal deresha delo ishtaba. So from the fact that the seifa deals with a case of shvua, it's mashma that the resha is dealing with not with a case of shvua. Zaktani seifa vinishba al sheker, because the seifa says vinishba al sheker, he swears falsely. Lamanu onesh, from over there, we know the Onesh, because it says right after that in Pasuk, says Rashi, that he has to bring a Korban Asham and he has to pay back the Keren and the Chomesh. As Haraminayin, how do we know about the warning? Tamalomar lo sashakru. Lo sashakru, don't lie. That's the Ashara for swearing falsely. Umidaseifa dishtaba resha delo ishtaba. And from the fact that the Seifa is talking about a case where there's a full Shvua, mashma, the resha is talking about a case where there's only a Kfira, not a full Shvua, yet he's considered to be a Gazlan like Rav Sheshes. Amrei idividi dishtaba. No, both cases are talking about where he took a full shvua. Kan shahoda, kan shabo edim. Why do I need two cases then if they're both talking about where the guy swore falsely? Because one is where he was modeh. In other words, the seifa in the second case of the brisa, where we say that he's going to be chayiv in a chomesh and an asham, is where he was modeh that he swore falsely. But kan shabo edim. However, the first case in the brisa is where edim came. So says the Gemara. So asu edim chayiv yonsin. If Edim came and said that the item is still in his possession, and that's how we know that he swore falsely, then he's taka considered to be a gazlan, and he's going to be chayav be'onsin. However, if he actually is modeh, then he's chayav in keren, chomesh, and asham. So in other words, that the only way he's entitled to the kapara, so we think of carbon as being a bad thing. Oh, he's chayav a carbon. But we also have to remember that when he brings a carbon, he also gets a kapara. The only time he's entitled to the kapara is when he owns up to his avera. So in other words, if he swears falsely and then he's modeh that he swears falsely, that's when we're going to give him the opportunity to bring a carbon and pay the keren and chomesh, because he was modeh. However, where Edom come and tell us that he swore falsely, but he's not owning up to his avera, then he's not entitled. To a kapara at all. The bottom line, though, in this Gemara is that there is no raya to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes tried to prove that the guy's considered to be a gazlan from the Shas Kfira, even without taking a full Shvua. We tried bringing a raya from a Braisa. We said, no, both cases in the Braisa is where the guy did take a full Shvua. None of them are talking about when there was a straight-up Kfira without a Shvua. Says the Gemara Vayter at the two dots. Masiv Rami Bar Chama. V'cheshenegdo choshod al ha-Shvua. So one of the cases where we apply the principle of nishba v'notel, where a guy takes a shvua in order to collect, is where the disputant, where his litigant, is choshed al ha-shvua. In other words, says Rashi fills in the blanks here. Rashi says, min ha-Torah, the type of shvua that is imposed on a litigant is what's called nishban v'lo meshalmin, that a person usually has to take a shvua in order to avoid having to make payment. Usually in the biblical shvuas, in the biblical oaths, there's no such thing as a shbon v'notlin. There's no such thing as taking a shvua in order to collect. However, if the person who would otherwise have to pay is chashad al hashvua, meaning we don't believe him, so we're not going to want to put him in a position where he's going to swear falsely, so rather than have that guy swear in order to not pay, we have his litigant swear in order to collect. That's one of the cases of nishban v'notlin. So says the Gemara, with this in mind, Masav Rami Bar Chama, v'cheshenegdo chashad al hashvua, ketzad, so what's the case? Echad shvua sa'idas, v'echad shvua sa'pikadon, v'afilu shvua shav. In other words, it doesn't matter what type of shvua we're nervous the guy's going to swear falsely. Even if the guy is chashed to swear falsely on a shvua shav, meaning he's not trying to cheat anybody out of money, he's stam a bad person, meaning he walks over to this amud and he says, or the shtender, and he says, this shtender is not made out of gold, this shtender is not made out of wood, this shtender is made out of gold. So that's stam a shvua shav. Everybody knows that it's false, but that's considered to be chashed al hashvua. Now says the Gemara, vim isa bekvirahu deifsil. If we're going to believe Rav Sheshes, that Rav Sheshes says that a guy is considered to be a gazlan, not only if he makes a shvul shvua, but even if he's just kofar that he has something, so once the guy's kofar, he should automatically be choshed al hashvua because he's a gazlan, and a gazlan isn't believed to swear. So why the only time that we say Nishban v'notlin is when the other guy is chasher alashvua, even if he's tam kofar, he's considered to be a gazlan, and memele should be chasher alashvua. So says the Gemara, Amrei, hachav v'mayaskina d'kai ba'agam. D'lav firu, no, because the guy did deny that the object was in his possession, but really the object, let's say it was a cow, the cow was in the... Was in the agam. The cow was standing in the swamp where it wasn't really a full-throated and a full-fledged kfira. Tesavar shtamitna le ad azilna umaisina le. Because he really was just trying to stall. He wasn't necessarily trying to flat out deny. He was stam trying to stall, and therefore he's not considered to be a gazlan simply on account of his kfira. And the only way we're going to apply the halach of nishban v'notlin is when he's actually chasher al hashvua. So teida, how do we know this concept that a person who denies a claim may not be considered a gazlan, but he may just be trying to delay his day of reckoning. He may just be trying to delay his payment obligation. Teida, says the Gemara, Demar Ravi Divarav and Akofer Bimilva Kasher Leidus. Because if a person owes money, but he denies that he owes money, he's still Kasher Leidus. Why would he be Kasher Leidus? The guy's denying that he owes money. Because Milva Lotsa Nitna, the reason that you borrow money is in order to spend it. So when the guy denies the fact that he owes money, he's not really trying to cheat the Malva out of money. What he's trying to do is he's trying to delay until he comes into the money and is able to pay him. However, Bipikadon, finally turning to today's daf, Bipikadon, if he's kofar, Bipikadon, then Pasol Eidus, then he's going to be Puzzle, then he's going to be Puzzle Le'edus. And the reason is because by a Pikodon, the object is there. And if the object is there and he's denying that he has the object, the reason that he's doing it is because he's trying to cheat the other guy out of money, and therefore he's considered to be a Gazlan. And therefore, he is going to be Puzzle Le'edus. V'yamar Ilfa, and Ilfa says, Shvua Kone. Shvua kone, that by shvua is kone, shvua de kanya, aval kfira lo kanya. That by shvua he's kone, in other words, he becomes a gazlan when he swears falsely, but he's not a gazlan when he stam kofer, that he has the, when he stam denies that he has the object in his possession. Says the Gemara, hachanami de kaime be'agam. No, the reason that he's not a ganav, the reason that he's not a gazlan, rather, as soon as he denies it, is because we know that the cow is in the swamp, and the reason that he's denying it is simply he's stalling in order to give him time to get the animal and return it to its owner. Hachanami de kaime be'agam. So Viba Sema, and others say, three lines down, my shvua kone. What does it mean when we say shvua kone? That he's kone the item as a gazlan when he takes a full shvua? Kad Ravuna, diyama Ravuna, amarav, manali biyadcha. If a person says, you owe me $100, valo amar ein lecha biyadi, and the other guy says, no, I don't owe you $100, v'nishba, and he swears, the achakach bo edim, and after he swears, edim come and say, oh, we see that you have his $100, Potter, he's going to be Potter. Shenemar v'lokach ba'alav v'lo yishalem, because the pasuk says v'lokach ba'alav, and the bailam take it v'lo yishalem, and the counterpart does not have to pay. Kivan shekiblu abailam shvua shuv einam shalem mamon. That and once he takes a shvua, the dispute no longer has to pay money. This is the Shita of Rav that we alluded to in the Akdama for the Shir, that once you accept a shvua from your disputant, from your litigant, you're no longer entitled to monetary payment from that litigant. But it could be that by a pikodon, that maybe he agrees with Rav Sheshes, that the guy is considered to be a gazlan, meshas kvira, even if he doesn't take a shvua. In other words, this whole pasuk, this whole concept of taking a shvua, doesn't mean that he's only a gazlan from the moment that he takes a shvua. The limud over here is Rav's limud, that once the litigant accepts a shvua, he's no longer entitled to monetary payment from his counterpart. Says the Gemara Navaiter, Gufa. So Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Mana li biyadcha. If a guy says, Reuven says, you owe me $100. V'alo omer in l'cha biyadi klum. Shimon says, I don't owe you anything. I don't have anything of yours in my possession. V'nishba, and he takes a shvua to that effect, that he doesn't owe the guy $100. Abo edim, and then edim come. Pater, so Shimon is going to be pater from paying. Why? This is the limit of Rav that we just saw. Shenemar v'lokach pala v'lo yishalem. Kivan shekiblu b'aylem shvua shuvein mishalmin mamon. Once Reuven accepts a shvua from Shimon, Shimon is no longer going to be obligated to pay Reuven money. Tzama Rava, mistabra milsa d'Rav b'milve l'lotzon inna. Rav shita is mistaber by milve, which is lahotzah nitna. In other words, when a person borrows $100, he borrows it not to sit on the $100, but he borrows it in order to spend the $100 because he doesn't have $100 of his own to spend. Ava bipikadon bershuse demari kai. However, by a pikadon, it's in the reshus of the master, meaning Rashi says there's no concept. If Reuven goes to Shimon and says, I gave you my cow to watch, and Shimon says, no, you didn't. And Shimon then takes a shvua that he doesn't have the cow. And then Edim come and say that he does have the cow. He has to give the cow back to Reuven. Why? Because it's Reuven's cow. It was always in Reuven's possession. In other words, Reuven always had title to the cow. It's just that it was being watched in Shimon's possession. But it never left Reuven's control. Whereas by a monetary loan, if Reuven gives Shimon $100, so Reuven can't say, oh, Shimon, you have my $100 in your possession. Shimon spent the $100, but where Reuven gives Shimon a cow to watch, Shimon's not spending the cow. The cow is staying in Shimon's reshus. Therefore, it's considered to be like it's still under Reuven's control. And therefore, even if Shimon swears falsely, he's still chayiv to give Reuven his cow back. That's the way Rashi explains this. But the Gemara says, four lines up from the wide lines, Velo Kim, Amar Rav, Afilu Bipikodon. No, even by Pikodon, once Reuven accepts a Shvua from Shimon, Shimon no longer has to return the Pikodon. Why? Dechik Siv, Kra, Bipikodon Siv. Because the whole Pasuk of Velokach Ba'Allah, Velo Yishalem, that's written by a Shomer Sachar. So that whole concept, the whole Pasuk is written by a Shomer Sachar. So that teaches me that even by Shmira, even by a Shomer, if the Mafkid is willing to accept a Shvua from the Nifkad is no longer going to be required to make monetary payment or restitution to the Mafkid if it turns out that he swore falsely. Says the Gemara now, two lines up from the wide lines. Yosef Rav Nachman v'ka'amar la shmaita. So Rav Nachman was learning this braisa, and Eisfe Rav Acha Bar Menyumi le Rav Nachman. Rav Acha Bar Menyumi asked the following question to Rav Nachman. Says the braisa, Eichem Piktoni, if Reuven goes to Shimon and says, where's my pikadon? Amar le avad, oh, I lost it. Mashpiachani, Reuven says to Shimon, I'm going to make you take a shvua that you lost. If you amar amen, and he says, yeah, amen. So amen is his, when he says amen, it's as if he actually took the shvua. Ve'edim e'idin oso sha'achlo. And Edim come and say, Shimon actually ate the cow. Reuven was asking, where's my cow? Shimon said, I lost it. Shimon then took a shvua, essentially, that he lost the cow. But Edim came and say that Shimon ate the cow. So obviously he didn't lose it, he ate it. So Mishalem Esakaren. So he has to pay. So he's going to have to pay. He's going to have to pay the Karen. In other words, he's going to have to pay the cow. He's going to have to pay the cow back. How come he doesn't have to pay Kefel? Essentially, he stole the cow, didn't he? So the Mefarshim explained, because he's a Shomer, and a Shomer is only going to be Chayiv Kefel when he's toin Tainas Ganav. Meaning, had Reuven gone to Shimon and said, where's my cow? And Shimon said, oh, it was stolen. And then we had Edim come and say that Shimon didn't have the cow stolen from his possession. Shimon actually ate the cow. Once he was toin Tainas Ganav, then when he pays Reuven back, he would have to pay Tashlume Kefel. But he wasn't toin Tainas Ganav, he was toin Tainas Avad. He was toin a taina that the cow was lost, therefore he's not going to pay Kefel. Now why does it talk about Keren? Why doesn't it talk about Chomesh and Asham? So simple, because Chomesh and Asham are only a chiyav. You're only obligated to pay Chomesh and Asham when you are modeh yourself that you stole the object, because that is your kapara. However, over here, Shimon was a modeh, he's lying, and he swore falsely that it was actually lost. It turns out that he ate the object, he's chayev to pay keren. Hoda me'atzmo, if he admits on his own that he actually ate the cow. Then Mishalem Karen V'chomesh V'asham. In other words, after the fact that he swore falsely, he then admits that he swore falsely, then he has to return the cow, he has to add a chomesh, and he has to bring a korban asham as his kapara for a full shvua. So Amar Lei Rav Nachman, so says Rav Nachman, but what do we see over here? We see over here where it was a pikadon, where Reuven gave a cow to Shimon, and Reuven says, where's my cow? And Shimon said, it got lost. And Reuven said, I'm going to make you take a shvua. And Shimon said, fine. So Shimon took a shvua. What happens when we find out that Shimon swore falsely? He has to pay back the cow. But Rav, I thought you said that once Reuven accepts a shvua from Shimon, Shimon no longer has to pay back the keren. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Achav b'mayaskina kagon d'nishva chutz l'beistin. Ah, because the shvua that Shimon took was outside of Beistin. When did Rav say that once Shimon takes a shvua, he doesn't have to pay the principal back? That's only when he takes a shvua in Beis Din. When he takes a shvua outside of Beis Din, not a problem. Then he does have to pay the principal back. Amar Lei Iachi, but you can't say that we're talking about a shvua outside of Beis Din, because Ema Seifa. Look at the Seifa. Heichan Piktoni, if Reuven says to Shimon, where's my pikodon? Amar Lei Nignav, and he says it was stolen. So in other words, he's towing Tanas Ganav, Mashbiach Aniv, Amar Amen. Reuven says to Shimon, I'm going to make you take a Shvuah. Shimon says Amen, which is the equivalent of him taking a Shvuah. Ve'edim e'edinos ha'shaganav, and Edim come and say that he stole it. So Mishalem Teshlumei Kefel. He's Mishalem Teshlumei Kefel because this is towing Tanas Ganav. And we had said that towing Tanas Ganav is chayef to pay Kefel. Hoda me'atzmo, if he admits on his own that he stole it, Mishalem Keren Chomesh va'asham. Then he has to pay the Keren Chomesh and an asham. But not Kefel, because Kefel is a knas, and Mode b'knas is potter. So he's only chayef Keren Chomesh and asham. V'isal kadaitach chutz l'beistin. And if you want to say that we're dealing with a case where this whole shvua happened chutz l'beistin, so mika Kefel. So there is no Kefel chutz l'beistin. Only a beistin imposes Kefel. So we see that we're talking about a situation where the shvua is in beistin. Samalei yechilna l'shnuye le. I could answer to you reisha chutz l'beistin v'seifa b'beistin. I could say, okay, so maybe the cases are, the Bryce is talking about two different cases. The Reisha is talking about where it's chutz l'beistin, and therefore, even though the guy already swore falsely, he still has to pay the item back to Reuven, because Rav's halacha, that once Reuven accepts a shvua from Shimon, Shimon is no longer obligated to pay back the principal, that's only in Basin. If we're talking outside of Basin, how could there ever be a situation of Kefel? Kefel is only imposed in Basin. Simple, because the Seifa of the Braisa is talking about in Basin. Reisha, out of Basin, Seifa, in Basin. Says the Gemara, Miya Shnui Dechika Lo Mashinin Alach. But I don't want to give you an answer that's dochek. In other words, it's dochek to say that in the same Braisa, one case is talking about where it's outside a Basin, the other case is talking about where it's inside a Basin. So Ella Iliv Idi Bebasin. Both cases are talking about where it's in Basin. If it's in Basin, so one Shimon takes a Shvua, why is he obligated to return the principal to Reuven? I thought Rav said that once Reuven accepts the Shvua from Shimon, Shimon is off the hook. Says the Gemara of Lokasha, Kamba Kafats, Kamba Shlo Kafats. Because the only time Shimon no longer has to pay the principal back to Reuven when he takes a Shvua is when Beis Din forces Shimon to take a Shvua. However, even though we're talking about in Beis Din, in the Reisha, Reuven got up and said, oh, Shimon, I'm going to force you to take a Shvua. And Shimon said, Amen. But Reuven jumped the gun. Reuven imposed the Shvua on Shimon before the Beis Din did. And since it's Reuven imposing the Shvua on Shimon and not the Beis Din, that doesn't have the same force as when the Beis Din imposes the Shvua. The only time Rav said is halacha that once a guy swears he no longer has to pay, that's only when Beis Din imposes the Shvua. When the litigant imposes the Shvua, then he does have to pay even if he already swore. So Amar Lei Rami Bar Chama, Rav Nachman says Rami Bar Chama to Rav Nachman, Michti. Michti, Derav lo sfira lecha, that you don't even hold like the shita of Rav. So Mashchuni Nafshacha Derav lama lecha. Why are you pledging yourself to Rav? In other words, we have Rav Shita, we have a Braisa that's difficult, you're trying to kvetch out a Teretz, Khan is in Basin, Khan is outside of Basin. No, they're both in Basin, one is Kafats, one is Lok. You don't even hold like the Shita of Rav. So you're going to all these lengths to defend the Shita that you don't hold from? The Namiki Yosef explains that we must have a Mesorah, that Rami Bar Chama heard that Rav Nachman doesn't hold like the Shita of Rav. But anyway, his question is, we don't hold like Rav. You don't hold like Rav. Why are you defending him? Similarly, Lefrushe de Rav, I'm trying to explain the way Rav would interpret his Shita. So the Rav, Hachim Mitaritz, Lamas Nisan, that Rav would be Mitaritz, the Mishnah, like this. Says the Gemara, let's interrupt this by asking, Varav Krakamar. Rav had a pasuk that said, V'lokach v'alav v'lo yishalem. That's how Rav knew his halacha. How could Rav Nachman argue on Rav if Rav has a pasuk? Samri kra lekolan ishban shabatorin ishban v'lo mishalmin hudasa. That pasuk doesn't teach me that once Reuven accepts a shvua from Shimon, Shimon no longer has to pay back the principal. That teaches me the halacha that generally the paradigm of shvua, like we said, is nishban v'lo mishalmin v'lo kach ba'alav v'lo yishalem. Once the Bailam takes a shvua, now he no longer has to pay. Misha lav l'shalem u'nishba. So that's the general paradigm for a biblical shvua. Says the Gemara Vayter, Masav Rav Amnuna, Shbiya lav chamesh pamim. If he swears falsely five times, bein b'fnei beisin, bein shalom b'fnei beisin, whether it's in front of beisin or not, v'kofer alav, and he's kofer, chayav al kol achas v'achas. He's going to be chayav on each and every full shvua, chomesh, and anasham. The Amar of Shimon, Matam, why is he going to be chayav five times? Essentially, it's like a repetition of five of the same full shvua. So, hold the yachalachs or lohodos, because in the middle of each time, he could have been moda that he swore falsely, but he refuses to be moda. Therefore, each time he refuses to be moda, it's as if he's incurring a chi of mammon anew. So, v'acha kafatz, lomatzasamris. The question is, why does he have to pay at all? Over here, you can't say that kafatz, that the litigant jumped the gun and forced the guy to take a shvua, because a shbiya alav ktani, because it says a shbiya alav. A shbiya alav means basin forced him to take a shvua. Chutzl basin lomatzasamrit. You can't say that we're talking about a situation of outside a basin, because bifnei basin ktani, because it talks explicitly in the brisa that we're bifnei basin. So isn't this against the Shita of Rav? Because Rav had said, once you take the Shvua, once Reuven accepts the Shvua from Shimon, Shimon no longer has to pay. But over here, we're talking about Shimon paying five times. So who most of love, who mefarek lo litzadin ktani. Just have to figure out how to interpret the Brisa. Hishpiel of Chutz LeBeisin, that if he was mashpiahim outside of Beisin, Uba basin kafat. And if we're talking about a case of in basin, in other words, the shbiya alav, we misinterpreted the brisa. Shbiya alav doesn't mean that basin imposed the shvu on him. Hishbiya alav means the litigant imposed the shvu on him. If we're in basin, why isn't it considered to be like a shvu of in basin where once Shimon takes the shvu, he's no longer obligated to pay back the object? Because bebasin kafats. If we're talking about a case of in basin, we're dealing with a case where the litigant jumped the gun and imposed the shvua, that it wasn't basin that was imposing the shvua. Masiv Rava. Now Rava asks the kasha. Balabayis shetan tainas ganav bepikadon. You have a balabayis, meaning a shomer chinam, who is toying tainas ganav bepikadon. He claims the pikadon was stolen. Vinishba, and then he takes a shvua to that effect. Vahoda, and then he admits. Ubo edim. And then he admits that he swore falsely, but also Edom came and said that he swore falsely, because Edom came and said, even though the guy was toying that he was ganav, it's really in his possession. So im achalobo Edom hodeh, if he was modeh before the Edom came and said that he swore falsely, mishalem karen v'chomesh vashem, then he has to pay karen v'chomesh vashem, like anybody who admits that he swore falsely. Vimi shabo Edom hodeh, mishalem tishalom ekeifel. However, if the Edom came and said that he swore falsely, and then he admits, his admission is worthless, because the Edom already came, and therefore he has to pay kefel. He has to pay kefel v'yasham, and he has to, but not the karen and the, but not the chomesh. Says the Gemara, v'hacha chutz lebeisin v'kafatz lo matzas amrit. But over here, you can't fetch out an interpretation of the brisa and say that we're dealing with a case either of outside a beisin or where the litigant jumped the gun and imposed the shvu on his counterpart, because kefel ktani, because we're dealing with a case where he's chayev kefel. He's only chayev kefel in basin. But the kasha is, if he took a shvua in basin, why is he ever obligated to make monetary payment? I thought Rav said that once he takes a shvua, he never has to pay. Elam Rava, kol hodeh, if a person is modeh, loshna toin tanas avad, loshna toin tanas ganav. It doesn't matter if he's toin tanas avad, it doesn't matter if he's toin tanas ganav. Lo amar Rav, that Rav's not talking about a case of hodeh, taksiv visvada, the boy shlume karen v'chomesh, that it says visvada, meaning that he has to pay the karen and the chomesh back. Toin Tainas Ganav, Ubo Edim, Nami Lo Amar. Rav also didn't say his halacha by Toin Tainas Ganav, and then Edim came and said that he swore falsely, because Amar Dahak Siv Tashlumi Kefel, because the Pasuk tells me in that case that he has to pay Kefel. So the whole Shita of Rav, that once you swear falsely, you no longer have to pay. It's not talking about where you admit that you swear falsely. It's not talking about where you swore falsely, it was stolen. The whole shita is, ki kamar, kigon shetoin tainas avad, v'nishba v'lo hodeh, ubo edim. It's only where he claims the taina that it was stolen. He wasn't modeh that he swore falsely. Edim came and said that he swore falsely. Only in that case does he not have to pay. So, Azul Rav Gamda, the Amr Lashmaita Kameh de Rav Ashi. So Rav Gamda came and said this Braisa to Rav Ashi. Amr Le, Hashta Umar Rav Amnuna Talmide de Rav. So Rav Amnuna was a Talmud of Rav. But Yoda Damar Rav, Hodeh, then, and he knew that Rav said Hodeh, a Kamosiv Hodeh, and he was asking from a case where the guy admitted that he swore falsely, Vat Amrit Hodeh Lo Amar, and now you're telling me that Rav never said his halacha in a situation where the guy was modeh that he swore falsely. His halacha was only said in a situation where he was toin tanas avad, and then Edim came and said that he swore falsely. Zama Rav, Amr, so Hodeh Lo Amar Rav, so Amr Le Rav Acha Saba Le Rav Ashi, Rav Amnuna Hachi Kakashale, that Rav Amnuna had a kasha from our Mishnah, which had spoken about where he takes five shvuas and he has to pay on each and every full shvua, because for each and every one he could have admitted that he swore falsely, and had he admitted that he swore falsely, he would have had to pay. And that's why he said that Rav had to be talking about a case of Hodeh. Flipping over to Kuf Vav Amud Beis, Iyam Rebishlam Anishba, if he took a Shvua, Yosuei de Mechayev, Amati Lachi Mechavina Le Karban Ashvua Basraisa. That's why you have to take a, that's why you have to give a Karban on each Shvua over here, Hol Viachol Lachs or Lahodos. Ali Amrit Kiyosuei de Potter, but if you want to say that when Edim come and say that he swore falsely, he's going to be Potter, Sami Kamidi Diluasi Sadi Mesadi Be Potter, Vana Nekav Nechayev Karban Ashvua, Hol Viachol Lachs or Lahodos. Is there a situation where if Edim came and said that he swore falsely, he'd be Potter? But because no Edom came and said that he swore falsely, he's going to be chayy because he could have been modeh. Hashta modeh lo hatamia lo odi, but he wasn't yet modeh, and that's why we had a kasha from this brisa. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter at the two dots here. So Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, a toin tanas ganav bepikadon. If a person is toin tanas ganav bepikadon, in other words, he claims it was stolen, but he really stole it. Meshalan tashlumi kefel. He has to pay kefel if he actually stole it. Tavach umachar, if he was toveach umocher, meshalan tashlumi arba rav chamisha. Then he has to pay dalud vehei. There is a machlokas rishonim whether he has to pay dalud vehei only if he was toveach umocher after he swore falsely that it was already stolen, or even if he was Taveach Umocher before he swore falsely that it was stolen, whether he still has to pay Dal Vehei. But anyway, the Braisa says, Toin Tanas Ganav, he's Chayev Kefel, and he's Chayev in Dal Vehei. Ho Vagana Meshalam Teshlume Kefel, Vatoin Tanas Ganav, Meshalam Teshlume Kefel. How do we know that the Toin Tanas Ganav is Chayev Dal Vehei? Because just like a Ganav is Chayev Kefel, and a Toin Tanas Ganav is Chayev Kefel, Ma Ganav Shu Meshalam Kefel, Vatavach Umocher, Meshalam Teshlume Abrava Chamisha, Av Toin Tanas Ganav. Because we pattern the halacha of toin tanas ganav after the halacha of ganav, just like ganav himself is chayav either kefil or dal vehei, so too toin tanas ganav, he's either chayav kefil or he's going to be chayav dal vehei. I says the Gemara, Mala Ganav Shekem Mishalim Teshlumi Kefal Shalom Beshvua. But the Ganav is Chayev Kefal as soon as we expose him as being a Ganav, even if he doesn't swear falsely. Tomer Betoin Tanas Ganav Shem Mishalim Teshlumi Kefal Ela Beshvua. Can you really apply the same halacha by Toin Tanas Ganav, where he is only Chayev Kefal if he takes a shvua that he swore falsely? And that limud is learned from the psukim on this issue. So says the Gemara, Amri Yakesha Heiv Emeshivan Al Hekesh. Oh, you're right. I mean, the case of Toin Tanas Ganav is not exactly like the case of Ganav. We have a distinction that Toin Tanas Ganav is only going to be chayiv in a case where he swears falsely. You're right. But it's a hekesh. In other words, the Shaklavatari or the Gemara works that we thought at first it was a mematzinu. We thought it was a comparison. We're saying, no, it's not a mematzinu. Rather, it's a hekesh. So says the Gemara, Hani Chalamandi Amar Chabe Ganav Chabe Toin Tanes Ganav Shapir. So I understand this is good according to the Mandi Amar who says that one pasuk is talking about by Ganav and one pasuk is talking about Toin Tanes Ganav. However, Elamandi Amar Hai Imlo Yimatzei Aganav Imlo Yimatzei Tarvai Betoin Tanes Ganav. But if you want to say that both pasukim are talking about Toin Tanes Ganav, there is no hekesh. So Mai Kalamei Mar. So what can you say? Samre Ganav Haganav, because he learns from a ribuy in the pasuk of ganav haganav. In other words, from the ribuy in the A, he learns that the tashlume dalav A applies both to ganav and to toein tainas ganav. All right, so I'm afraid we're going to have to stop here because we're out of time. Long daf. Today's tomorrow's rather is shorter, so hopefully we'll make up time and we'll be all set for when the rabbi returns on Sunday. Hope everybody has a great day and a wonderful Shabbos.